You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Richardson. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. New book. We just completed the book of Hebrews. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're live on the air with SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently for America, and then I pray for everybody who comes one by one, when and if the Holy Spirit leads me, according to His beautiful gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That's every Wednesday, 6 p.m. You're also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Mercer's The Produce Place. The Produce Place, oh, that's an amazing grace place, is at the corner of Wickham Road at Bonita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And now, 1 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 1. The name Samuel in the Hebrew means ask of God and heard of God. Ask and God will hear you. It's talking about prayer. Holy Spirit used the prophet Samuel to write this, as well as two other prophets, the prophet Gad and the prophet Nathan. In the original manuscripts, 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel were one book, but there were no books then. They put the manuscript on a scroll, and it was so long they ran out of paper, and they had to start another one. Scroll number one, scroll number two, 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. It was written by the Holy Spirit through Samuel, Gad, and Nathan in 1016 B.C. before the Lord. It was written when God had appointed judges to rule over the nation of Israel. No kings yet. The judges, the Hebrew word is shofar, it means to set things right and to rule. But it wasn't like politics. They were to set things right and rule according to the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. But something else. Every judge was also the priest. In other words, he would lead the worship services. He would take the animal sacrifices. Jesus had not yet come then. And he would pray for the people. See, God always wanted one nation under God. And on Wednesday night, I say, one nation under God through Jesus Christ our Lord. God always wanted the government and the politicians to love Jesus, live the Bible, and go by the Bible, just like the priest. The government, the politicians are supposed to love Jesus, know the Bible, just like the priest. And that's what God wanted. So it was there. Amen. Now, we're going to find that we've got a priest here, Eli. He's a judge and the priest. And then Samuel will be the last judge of Israel. And then God will appoint the kings like good King David. Therefore, from God's heart, to my heart, to your heart, 9 prayer points that touch the heart of God. 9 prayer points that touch the heart of God.
Verse 1. Now there was a certain man of Ramah in Zophim of Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah.
Elkanah in the Hebrew means required of Yahweh. He was of the tribe of Levi. Levi is the priest line, and so to whom much is given, much is required.
The son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tophu, the son of Zuth, and Ephraphite. Verse 2. And he had two wives.
Now, in Bible times, before God straightened everything out, men would have more than one wife. Okay, I don't think I could handle that, but they had to handle it. Okay, actually, it was good for the woman because she had no way to make a living. The man would take care of her.
The name of one was Hannah.
Hannah's name means grace, unmerited favor, or love. So one of his wife's name is Love.
And the name of the other, Penina.
Penina means pearl, the pearl of great price. Man, he's got it made there. He's got love and a pearl.
And Penina had children. But Hannah had no children.
In Bible times, that was almost a disgrace. They thought that the woman was under a curse. Not so. But her whole purpose was to have children. So Hannah is going to have to take it to the Lord in prayer.
Verse 3. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh.
Now, God had, before the church, ordained that there would be three special feasts of worship for the nation of Israel. And they would pick up everything, their family and other things too, and go wherever the Ark of the Covenant was. When the children of Israel went into the Promised Land under the leadership of Joshua, they took the Ark of the Covenant, and it was presently at a place called Shiloh. So that's where they'd go up and worship. The Ark of the Covenant was God's presence, and Shiloh means rest or Sabbath, and we know now that Jesus is our Sabbath, that wherever God is, that is Sabbath, and that is where God is. So they go up there on those three feasts. Now, for homework, you might like to read Leviticus chapter 23 and Deuteronomy 16. There are hundreds and hundreds of chapters in the Torah about that, but these will help you. Leviticus 23, Deuteronomy 16. They had three special feasts. One was the Feast of Unleavened Bread, one was the Feast of Weeks, and the other was the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, the church was not formed, so we don't keep those quite that way, but we still honor them. The Feast of Unleavened Bread, we call it Passover, when we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of our Passover lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, which the world mistakenly calls Easter, okay? And the Feast of Weeks is 50 days after Passover, which is called Pentecost. And on the Feast of Tabernacles is when God comes to tabernacle with us, the Feast of Booths, on October 9th of this year. We're going to actually celebrate that, but the new way, the better covenant, like Jesus did, because October 9th begins that, and then I'll explain that more to you. So they're going to go up to Shiloh. Now, they've got to take some things. They were told to take, first of all, a thank offering to give to the priests, perhaps like a sheep or a lamb. They're told to take flour and to take a bottle of wine. The lamb, the sheep, means they knew Jesus Christ, the Messiah, would come someday and be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. So they're thankful and they're giving it to the priests. The flour is the body of Jesus, and the wine is the blood of Jesus. So they pack up everybody, strangers and family, and up they go to Shiloh.
And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there.
Now, Eli was not only the judge, but he was the priest. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. Now, later on in Samuel, we're going to read about them. They're not such good people there. Now, he's the priest there. And so here comes Elkanah, Hannah, and Penina, and all the children, and all the guests, and everybody. Here they come.
Verse 4. And when the time was that Elkanah offered.
Okay. So he's going to give a thanksgiving offering. He's going to give to the priest Eli the lamb, the flour, and the bottle of wine. It's called the first fruit offering. There were three different types of tithe. The first belongs to the Lord. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So we give, that's called a wave offering or a heave offering. Here, priest, I'm giving you this. Of course, they would cook that, okay? Now, what was left over, Eli would give back to Elkanah, and so they're going to have a happy feast here. It's a symbol of the marriage supper of the Lamb when Jesus comes back. Jesus is the bridegroom, and we're the bride. We're going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's something about eating together that brings unity. Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if you'll open the door, I'll come in and sup with you, and you with me. So, now they've got some Eli's got his part. They're all eating there. And so Elkanah's got his. He's going to give out some to his family.
He gave to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters, portions.
Okay, he feeds Peninnah. She's got a lot of children there. Okay, they get some.
Verse 5. But to Hannah, he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah.
He gave her a double portion. God's elect get a double portion of the anointing.
But the Lord had shut up her womb.
Oh.
Verse 6. And her adversary also provoked her sore, tried to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb.
Her adversary was Peninnah. Peninnah just mocked her for not having children. Peninnah was jealous of Hannah because Elkanah loved her most of all. Now, you have an adversary, the devil. He goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. If you are really saved and sanctified, that would mean you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. Your whole life is about God, and you're led by the Holy Spirit. You live for the Lord. You have the anointing. The devil, your adversary, is jealous of you. So Peninnah is a type of the devil being jealous of God's elect. Why is he jealous? Because in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3, 6, 7, the first earth age, Isaiah 14, before Lucifer, that old devil, rebelled and fell into sin, he was a perfect pattern. Boy, God loved him. He was anointed. And the anointing, like God's elect, he was a great musician. He was wise. He was beautiful. He fell from that. And the devil absolutely is so jealous of a man, a woman, a boy, a girl who's sold out to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Ha, 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 devil.
Verse 7. And as he did, so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her.
It happened every year.
Therefore she wept and did not eat.
Okay, so she would not eat. Now, we know that Hannah is going to pray here for a son. I told you we have 9 points, prayer points. You want to ponder them because they touch the heart of God. This is the third one right here. The first one is you've got a problem. You got a mountain that needs to be moved. So, you go to God with thanksgiving. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. You thank him for the blessings that you do have. And then you give to him. First of all, you give 1/10 of every dollar, because if you don't, you're robbing God, you're under a curse. And even under the new covenant, if you only tithe so you won't be called a God robber, or you won't be called a thief or under a curse, that's no good anyway. 2 Corinthians 9, you must be a cheerful giver. And you don't just give that, you give more. Anybody who's a real Christian gives and gives and gives some more. In other words, a tithe is a start, but you give and you give it, and you give unto the Lord. So you enter there, you thank him, and make sure you give unto the work of the Lord, wherever you get fed God's word, and then you fast. She did not eat. See, that's the third. Got it now? Thanksgiving, giving to the Lord, what you're supposed to give to him, and give some more, and then you fast. Jesus says, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. And Jesus said, when you fast? Jesus fasted, the Apostle Paul fasted, David fasted, and I fast. There are things in our lives, not just for us, but for people we love. It just won't move until you fast. See, that is one of your greatest weapons in your arsenal, and very few of you use it. You think, I don't want to do that. Well, you want your prayer answered? Okay, that's 3. Let's find some more.
Verse 8. Then said Elkanah her husband to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?
He loved her and he wanted to comfort her. He says, okay, you don't have any sons. You know, I'm your husband, I'm your son too.
Verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk.
Now, they didn't get drunk. They drank the bottle of wine. Paul says, have a little wine for your stomach. Now, if you're an alcoholic, you don't drink it. But actually, there's something good in wine if you're not an alcoholic. But this represents the blood of Jesus.
Now, Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by the post in the temple of the Lord.
Okay, they're all there together, the priest. Now, remember, your high priest, Jesus Christ, is always there with you. He'll never leave you, never forsake you. He sits at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for you. So what she does, she moves over into the temple area, and she's going to pray. Now, she's already thanked the Lord, because that was the family thing. She's already given of her first fruits there, and she's already fasted. Now she's going to do something else. Number four.
Verse 10. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore.
She didn't just pray, Lord, give me a son. She sobbed. There's something about crying. I don't mean crocodile tears. When you love somebody, and you see they're not making it, and you think, and you give extra money beyond your tithe, and your fast, you just fall down and cry. If you're a good parent, when your little child cries its little heart out, you respond, do you not? God says, I'm looking for someone who will cry and sigh for the nation. Do you ever cry for your nation? I do. So she not only prays, but she cries. This is not a pretty prayer. Not trying to impress the other people in the room. I mean, oh God, I've got to have help.
Verse 11, and she vowed a vow.
Whoa, number five. A vow is a promise. She says, Father, I'm going to promise you something, because she's going to ask for that son. Now, you might want to read for homework Psalm 50. It says this, if you make a vow to God, you better keep it. If you're not going to keep it, God's going to make you keep it. People say, I'm going to go to church if you'll do this for me. And they go one time and that's it. And something happens to them, sometime they die. I'm going to do this if you'll heal me. And they do it a little while and they stop. You will pay that vow one way or another. But Psalm 50, 14, 15, 16, 17, right in there says, okay, offer to God thanksgiving. She's done that. Whatever you vow, you do it. It says, God will deliver you in time of trouble. Amen. Look at that. I do this. I do this for other people. And I promised I would do something the rest of my life, and I'm doing it. And God answered my prayer. He delivered a friend of mine from trouble. Amen. She's thankful. She gives her tithe, plus more than that, much more than that. The tithe is just a starting point. And she fasts. And she sobs and cries and prays in tears. And she says, I'm going to keep my vow. I'm going to give a vow. Well, what's her vow?
And said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child.
Would you, if you'll give me a son, here's my promise.
Then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life.
Once I get him weaned, I'll bring him back here, and I'll leave him here, and let him be in the full service of the Lord. Now that's a mother's heart hurting, but she said, I'll do that.
And there shall no razor come upon his head.
And she didn't stop there. Numbers chapter 6, she says, I'll help him take the vow of the Nazarite. Now, Jesus of Nazareth had not yet come, but you could tell his name's there. The vow of the Nazarite meant they would surrender their life to the Lord. A woman could also take it. That's what happened to Jephthah's daughter in the book of Judges, okay? They would never cut their hair, and they would never put in their mouth anything that came from the vine. Not only wine, but they would not eat raisins. In other words, nothing from the vine. In other words, I would dedicate him to you as soon as I get him weaned. Now, this is her vow. That was okay. That was number five.
Verse 12. And it came to pass that she continued praying.
Continued is number six. James chapter 5, 13 on down there, 14, 15, 16, 17 says, the effectual, that means continually, not quitting, unceasing fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Jesus would talk about that in Luke 11 and Luke 18. I'm not going to grant you this, but because of your importunity, because of your shameless persistence, I will give you this petition. So she didn't just pray it once, she prayed it another. A lot of times you just pray it one time and you say, well, I didn't get it. I guess he doesn't want it. If it's in God's word and God's will, pray till you pray it through. Prevailing prayer. The old folks says, I'm not quitting until I pray it through. Get on there. Perseverance wins. Amen. That's number six, amen. Prevailing amen. Prayer.
For the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth.
Now, Eli, the priest, is watching her. Now, he's sitting there. Jesus is watching you. Jesus is closer to you than hands are breathing. All those are the right hand of God. He's watching her.
Verse 13. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard.
Now, she was not of this generation, which is the mumble generation. Nobody knows how to talk anymore. You got your head down that cell phone, you don't remember how to speak. But that wasn't her problem. It was number seven. She was praying in the Spirit. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 14, I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. Romans 8:26 says we don't know how to pray as we ought. Sometimes it's just, I don't even know how to ask this. You know, haven't you felt that way? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes, okay. And so the Holy Spirit will intercede for you with groanings which cannot be uttered, that you pray according to Father's will. You pray in the heavenly language. The word tongues in 1 Corinthians 12 is a language. It is not gibberish, it's a language of God. And when you don't know how else to pray for somebody or yourself, pray in that language. That is the Holy Spirit, He's God, praying to God the Father in the name of Jesus. That's God praying to God. You better believe it's going to be right. So she prays in the Spirit. Some of you just don't yet get it. You don't know how to pray until you've got the Spirit. And then your prayers are going to be powerful. And you're going to move mountains.
Amen. Amen.
Pray in the Spirit. That's number seven.
Therefore, Eli thought she had been drunken.
Thought she was drunk.
Verse 14. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee.
Now, this shows something about Eli. He's a high priest. Revelation 1 says, if you're a real Christian, I don't mean those of you think you are or not, you are a priest. Okay. A priest is supposed to live in the spiritual realm, although we are in a fleshly, carnal, physical world. You'll do more good in earth if you operate by the Spirit. In other words, you understand what's going on because you understand the spiritual realm. You live in the spiritual realm. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. And Eli was a priest, but it looks like he wasn't doing so well. He was thinking carnally. He was watching the flesh. See, most of you want your prayers answered, but you're looking at somebody, their situation, their job, their money, their looks, their clothes, their situation. You're not looking at the spirit. There's something spiritual behind that. Okay, so he thinks he's drunk. Now, we got to have an eighth one here.
Verse 15. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord.
I'm just crying before the Lord.
Verse 16. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial.
Belial is Baal, in other words, the devil. I'm not a child of the devil. I'm a daughter of God.
For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Verse 17. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thy petition that thou hast asked of him. Verse 18.
Okay, this is number eight. The priest agrees with her. Jesus says, if two or more agree as touching anything they ask on earth, it shall be done of them. The prayer of agreement. Now, this is where the rubber meets the road. Sometimes in a group, we'll say, we'll have a petition. Everybody say, I agree in Jesus' name. You can always tell the ones who do. Some will say, I agree in Jesus' name. You don't agree. And that messes it up. In other words, if I'm going to pray for somebody to be healed, raised from the dead, or cast out devils, I can't have any doubters in the room. So you find somebody who's filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, got it. The Word of God, who understands the power of prayer. Find that person, get them agreed. Otherwise, you're going to mess it all up. See, a lot of times we just say, Christian, will you agree with you? Sure, I agree with you. And they don't even believe. You messed it all up. The prayer of agreement. It's got to be a kindred spirit. Prayer of agreement.
And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight.
She said, I agree also. See, he said, I agree. She said, I agree. Okay. Now that was number 8. We only got one more to go, so you'll know how to pray.
So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad.
She's not pregnant. I mean, they got company there, you know? But she has done something here. Number 9, she has believed that God answered her prayer. You call forth those things which are not as though they were. When you've prayed it correctly, believe you have it. But what she did is one of God's laws. It's called the law of motion. God has a lot of laws. Even lost people go by the law of reciprocity. Give it, it'll be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shake it together, running over, shall men give it your bosom. There's a law of lift that gets the airplane up. There's a law of gravity. That's why we're not all floating around the room. There's a law of motion. As soon as you know God wants you to do something, and it's His will, and you prayed correctly about it, when you finish praying, you start moving in that direction. This is where most of you mess up. That's where you sit back. It's about to come. You hold your hands. Okay, God, give it to me. And you sit there and wait, and nothing happens. God's law of motion, you move toward it. Do something. If it's something about your business, do something in your business. I did it with my school. I jumped out of bed, made a phone call. I've done about everything in my life. I'm doing it right now for somebody else. Move, move, move. Do something. Give something. Move. Get up and move.
Amen.
And that God will answer that. As you begin to move, that prayer request starts moving closer to you. See, most of you, that shows you believe. It's law of motion. Now, she's not through. That's motion number 1, but she's going to have motion number 2. 9 is divided into 2. Motion number 1 and motion number 2, okay? Are y'all following me?
Yes. Yep.
Are you alive?
Yep.
Okay.
Verse 19. And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah.
Okay. Here comes part B of number 9, motion. You're going to do something about it. You're going to do something about it. See, you know God's called you, and you just sit and wait until He dumps everything. Your ducks are never going to be in a row. That's not faith. Just get up and start it. Told you to do something. That's what I did. I had $45. No human being in the world. Just get up and do it. You don't have much more time, you know, in the last hour. What God's told you to do, do it.
And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife.
Ha, ha, ha. They had a second honeymoon. They went to bed. That's smart.
When the Lord remembered her. Verse 20. Therefore it came to pass, when the time was come about.
That's 9 months later.
After Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord.
In other words, Samuel means ask of the Lord and heard of the Lord. Look at that. Did you get your 9 points there? She got hers in the real.
Verse 21. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice.
Time to go up there again. Time to want to do one of the feasts, okay?
And his vow.
He made a vow too. He was of the tribe of Levi, and yet he would go and pay his tithe to another tribe of Levi. I do that too. I'm in the tribe of Levi. I don't ask for tithes and offerings. I've got about 7 people to tithe to my ministry there. But what I do, I take 1/10 of that plus an offering, and I give it to another ministry, and the rest of it I use for the service here. See, that's what the Levi priest is supposed to do that. You're supposed to give your tithe to the Levi, and then they're supposed to tithe it somewhere else. That's what you do. He did it.
Amen. 22. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned.
Okay, weaned. Now all of you are thinking, oh, that's right, he's a baby, he's got to drink some milk there. Wayne means more than that. I'll explain it in a moment, okay?
But then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever.
In other words, I'm going to keep my vow.
Verse 23. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry till thou have weaned him.
Okay. If she had taken little Samuel there, up there to the priest Eli, Eli would have said, I need somebody to help me. I got to pick up heavy stuff here. I need somebody to know the word of God. This baby is too little. Now, there's a book called the Apocrypha. It was in the original scripture. The Catholic Church left it in. The Protestants took it out. It's called the Apocrypha. There's 2 Maccabees chapter 7 and explains that weaned means mature. Now, he's going to say, Elkanah's going to say one other word to it. I explain it.
Only the Lord establish his word.
What it was, mature means not just the breast milk, but you've got to mature so you can be of some use to Eli there. You got to pick up heavy stuff so a little baby wouldn't do that and always be in the way. But he said word there. It was required of the Hebrew boys by the time they were 12 years old to have memorized the Torah, the first 5 books of the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I bet you don't even know one verse there, okay? Memorized by 12 years old. And that way, when the child would be ready to go to the temple, they would not only be able to be mature enough in their body to do some good, they would know the word of God. Now remember that the Lord Jesus Christ, we heard nothing from him after he was a baby, and then at 12 years old, Jesus went to the temple. So the weaned here means from about 10 years old, most probably 12 years old, because he had to not only be mature in his body so he could pick up the heavy stuff for Eli, help offer the sacrifices, but he also know the word of God because he was going to assist in the teaching. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him.
Suck not just the breast milk, but then she suckered him in the word, the Torah, every word of God. Now, parents, your job is to make sure your child, starting from the womb, read the Bible while the child's in the womb. As soon as it's sucking their little breast milk, their bottle milk, start reading the Bible. You say it can't hear. Yes, it can. Its spirit knows it. Make sure your child knows the word of God, not just a Sunday school fairy tale, not just one verse, but every word of God. Make sure your child knows how to pray in the spirit. Make sure your child knows their life is not their own. Your child is supposed to be taught every word of God by you parents. It's your responsibility.
Amen.
Verse 24. When she had weaned him, she took him up with her with 3 bullocks.
Oh, gonna take a bullock. We didn't have that before. A bullock is an offering you give to Eli the priest. It means consecration. I'm gonna dedicate my son to you, and here is a bullock. I mean, I'm giving you the whole beefsteak thing.
I want ephah of flour.
There's the flour representing the body of Jesus.
And a bottle of wine.
Representing the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at that dedication.
Brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh.
Okay, they're up there. He's just touching. It's a mother. It's her son.
And the child was young.
12 years old, no older.
Verse 25. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli.
Now, Eli the priest will understand from the scriptures, all that I've Leviticus 23, Deuteronomy 16, many other scriptures, there's just hundreds of them, that the bullock meant that I am dedicating my son to the Lord. He's going to stay here in the temple with you and assist you in the priestly duties.
Verse 26, and she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord.
You thought I was drunk.
Verse 27. For this child I prayed.
Look here. Here's the answer to my prayer. Real alive.
And the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him.
Flesh and blood. My son here, Samuel.
Verse 28. Therefore also I have led him unto the Lord.
Now the word let there means return, R-E-T-U-R-N. In other words, Hannah knows that we're all with God before we're in our mother's womb, Jeremiah 1. We came from God. Any child you have was loaned to you from God. So as soon as you have that child born, I return my child to you. I give my child back to you. But of course, you nurture him. See, it's like the tithe. You don't pay a tithe. The tithe is the Lord. You're returning that $1 out of every 10. You're returning. You understand? So you return him back to the Lord.
As long as he liveth, he shall be lent unto the Lord.
All of his life, Samuel, the prophet Samuel.
And he worshiped the Lord there.
And now begins the ministry of young Samuel. He worships the Lord.
Amen.
9 prayer points that touch the heart of God. I pray you would touch.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place Man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. That was awesome. That was an awesome word.
I know it. 28 verses. Yeah. They got them all in it. But, well, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of their troubles. Psalms 34, 15 through 17.
Absolutely perfect.
Amen.
Great, Scott. We did not collude. The Holy Spirit always, we don't collude this. I just trust the Holy Spirit tells him, and we just do our thing. That was great.
Amen.
Thank you, Scott. Very good.
Amen.
Now, before I pray for healing, we have people all over the world. I love all of you out there. I feel you in my spirit. I just hug you with my heart. Anybody out there not saved, pray this prayer with me, mean it, and God will save you. In the last hour now, it's time for everybody to get right with God. Here we go. Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in the name of Jesus, I am a sinner.
I repent.
I repent.
Now, when you said that, that means you stop it. If you say, if you got to repent to be saved, if you go right home and go back to it, you're not saved. So I say, I repent.
I repent.
I quit.
I quit.
I turn from it.
I turn from it.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. Jesus Christ, Son of God. Come into my heart. Save my soul.
Forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with your precious blood. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. And put me where you want me in your church. I ask that I will win many souls to Jesus. And now I can say, Father, in Jesus' name.
And now I can say, Father, in Jesus' name,
by the Holy Spirit, Amen.
Amen.
Now, for those of you in cyberspace, Romans says, with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. You're required to tell someone, because death and life are the power of the tongue, and you're to tell someone. Tell a lot of people, you feel free to tell me. In a little while, Scott, my announcer, will give you my telephone number, and that's my voicemail. If you like, call that number. I invite you to. Tell me your confession, and welcome to the family of God. Be sure to read your Bible every day for the rest of your life. If you're a new Christian, start in the Gospel of John. Stick with me, and we'll get the whole Bible, okay? And also, pray the Father now in Jesus' name. Pray every day. Don't just pray little mumble prayers. I mean, pray in the Spirit. You also may email me, and here's my email number. By the way, all of you out in cyberspace all over the world, I love you with all my heart. On Wednesday night, we have SSS, Supplication for Someone Special. If you would like to be that someone special for whom I pray on the air, and if I may use your name, email me your prayer request, make it brief, and your name, and at some point, I will do my very best to use it on Wednesday night. Here's my email. You may also email me your prayer request, your prayer of confession, your praise reports, no grumbling. Okay, here's my email. S-H-A-R-I Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. Okay, I feel led today to pray for people who are having trouble with their thinking abilities. But the Holy Spirit's already told me it's not something that I need to pray about. I need to give you some instruction, because Psalm 92 says that the righteous shall be strong and flourishing. Even in old age, you'll be strong and flourishing. You'll bear more fruit in old age than ever before. So you're not supposed to get demented. The reason you're not losing that, you're losing your thinking, is because you stare at your cell phone all the time. You let it do your adding and subtracting and multiplying and dividing, and you don't use your brain. So here's what you do. You need to think. You need to learn new things. Keep learning. Stick with me. You get Hebrew and Greek and all kind of good things. But you need to memorize the scripture. Now, I know, I can't memorize scripture. Yes, you can. The very fact that you say you can't means that's why you can't. I can do all things through Christ. You should memorize the scriptures. And then you're helping yourself. You've got the weapon you need to fight the devil. You better start using your brain. Those cell phones are making young people have dementia. And I'll tell you, if you use your brain, you'll have a good brain all your life. Look at me. I'm like Methuselah. I'm blind as a bat. I have no notes. And I memorize this for 12 years every Sunday and Wednesday. But see, that's not me. That's you. You need to use your brain. If you don't walk, you're going to be paralyzed. If you don't use your brain, you're going to have all kind of dementia. So just use your brain. Yes. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to wake up the people of the world. I know the cell phones are good. They do good. We use it one night to get the media out. But I ask you, please let them start reading their Bible. Start memorizing scripture. Start talking to people and thinking and using their brain so they can flourish in old age, so their mind will get better. Because people, you're supposed to get better. You're supposed to bear more fruit. You should have more word of God, more power, more wisdom. You know more. Unless you have dementia like somebody we know. Somebody hasn't been reading their Bible, okay? I pray you all blessed. Amen. We're all saved.
I agree in Jesus' name.
Oh, this is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. Let me do a little benediction for you. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yes, I'm your second best friend, but your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. No greater love is this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. Jesus loves you with all his heart. Give your life to him. Give up all that nonsense. You don't have any more time. Stop all that nonsense. Come on, give it all up for him. I dare you, and you'll be so glad. Amen. And I love you too. And I'm looking forward to the next time when you and I get together as a family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
Hey, this is Mark Ballmer from Lessons for Living. We hope that you're enjoying the radio program. This is a great radio station, 91.5. We pray that God will help you do life right.
was going down when you grabbed my hand, when you took the stand, when I was alone, you came for me. And you have loved me. Beggars, please, held out hopelessly, like shadows fade as light falls away. I was going down when you took my hand. You took the stand. I was alone when you came for me. You have loved me.
You Thou my soul. You are listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
This is all I can do.